don't serve a dead God. We serve the all-consuming fire. As He is, so are we in this world. As He is now in heaven, so are you in this world. His reality is your reality. As Shantae always says, what's true of Jesus is true of you today. This is the revelation of the remnant, because they understand that they're not downtrodden, that they're not left in despair. No, they've been anointed with the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. They understand that they've been authorized with the same authority that Jesus Christ has. The whole of creation, the Bible says in the book of Romans, it eagerly waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. There is an eager expectation in this hour for your manifestation. There is an eager expectation for your manifestation. God has anointed you in this hour. Hear what I'm saying. Not to just be an average Christian. Not to just be someone who attends church on Sunday. No, He's anointed you to be an agent of change in this hour. To be an agent of deliverance in this hour. To be an agent of light in this hour. Because where light is, darkness cannot be. This is your reality. This is our reality. This is your story. You may take your seat for a minute or so. I see a change of story taking place this morning. Say this from your spirit. As He is, so am I in this world. His reality is your reality, children of God. His reality is your reality, children of the Most High God. And God has anointed you to be an answer in this hour. Think about this. You don't carry just a good suggestion. You carry the divine answer in this hour. You're not a carrier. You know, you should try Jesus. No, you're a carrier of the divine answer. It is Jesus. But I want you to realize something. That you are the ones that are here in this world. We are the ones that are here in this world. And God is looking to use you in this final hour of time. Those who will just simply believe. Those who will simply say, God, I might not have much. But all I have, I give to you. All that I am, I give to you. God will only use you to your point of surrender. Many people want to be used by God that they don't want to surrender. And that's what God is looking for in this hour. For those who will yield to Him. To those that will yield to His Spirit. Not my way, but your way. Not my name, but your name. Not my way, your way. And those are the people that God is going to use in this hour to turn the world upside down once more. As He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. See, this morning I want to provoke you to grab a hold of your destiny in Christ Jesus. To lay hold of what He has in store for you. Because by redemption, every child of God is granted a glorious destiny in Christ Jesus. Your destiny is not average. Your destiny in Christ is glorious. But in this hour, if it is that we want to lay hold of it, we must arise and shine. Not hide away and be silent. You can't win the lost at any cost if you don't go out. You can't win the lost at any cost if you don't speak. And I believe that even this morning, God is anointing people with fresh boldness. Fresh boldness to open up their mouths. Every person on face, fresh boldness. Lift up your hands even now. Father, in the name of Jesus, let boldness come upon them this morning. Let a new level of boldness enter their hearts this morning, I pray. To shake places, to shake their areas of work, to shake businesses, to shake schools, to shake universities, to shake the government, to shake East London, South Africa, and the whole globe. Let that boldness today rise up in every heart in Jesus' name. Say, I receive it. Now you've got no excuse because you received the boldness. This is the hour I decree is to arise and shine. There is an eager expectation for our manifestation. We don't exist by accident, but we exist for assignment. We exist because God has a purpose and a plan for us in this hour to operate as He is now in this world. Your existence is not one of chance, but one of divine intention. I love how it says in the NIV, actually, if we look at 1 John 4:17 and in the latter half, it says, in this world, we are like Jesus. King James Version or the New King James says, because as He is, so are we in this world, now in this world. NIV says, in this world, we are like Jesus. Passion Translation says, all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. All that Jesus now is, so are you in this world now. And wherever Jesus walked, change came. And that same anointing, that same power is in you this morning. Things can't stay the same when you're on the scene. Devils can't stay when you're on the scene. But as I preached to you last week, what we don't know, we don't know. What you don't know, you can't have. What you don't know, you can't operate in. And so I want to provoke you this morning with the time that I have left to lay a hold of this reality that's available to you. Your reality is an agent of change. That's why God has anointed you, not for fun. He doesn't anoint us to exist. He anoints us to bring change, to bring deliverance to the captives, to bring sight to the blind, to bring healing and restoration to the brokenhearted. You are God's chosen instrument in this hour. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I face. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who's in you. He who's on the inside of you is greater than he that's in this world. When you are on the scene, change must come. Some of you at home are watching now, and some of you in this place, you say, I've got a difficult work environment. It's not greater than the one that you carry on the inside of you. You are the one. You are the anointed solution in that business to change it. When someone's dying of COVID, you're the solution. Because it's He that's on the inside of you. This is what Jesus says about us. This is not pride. This is scripture. This is what He says. The same Spirit, not a different Spirit. Jesus operated by the same Holy Ghost that's in us now. The Bible says He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He did no miracles until that empowerment. See, we can't be as He is and do as He did without the same empowerment. You can't fulfill a supernatural instruction. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, without a supernatural empowerment. But there's something I've learned about the Lord and how faithful He is. What He calls for, He empowers you for. Every calling that He's placed upon your life, He has given you an empowerment to accomplish it. It's time for us to awaken to the reality that's on the inside of us. You are not alive to survive. You are alive to thrive in this hour, to walk as signs, wonders, and miracles, so that when people look upon you, they see a living God that's with you. But I want to give you three fundamental things, and I want you to write them down. Three fundamental things that are so crucial. If you want to operate as He is, there's three things that you must do. And the one I've already given it to you, I've already alluded to it. We must be supernaturally charged and empowered. Think about a phone. When a phone goes flat, it's of no use. But when a phone, good God, help me, Jesus. When a phone is flat and it's charged up, you put it into a into the electricity and it gets charged up, it's ready for use. You cannot run flat in this hour and be of use. We must be charged supernaturally. We must be charged and empowered. The moment that you receive the Holy Ghost in His fullness, you're charged and you're empowered to go about work. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus. Anointed means supernaturally empowered. Say this, I am anointed. You are supernaturally empowered. What are we waiting for? When you walk past a lame person, what are you waiting for? Somebody else. You are God's chosen instrument in that instant to lay your hands upon them and see them recover. It's time to die to ourselves, and I preach this to myself. It's time to die to ourselves. What if the person gets up? What if they don't? What if they do? Someone died prematurely. Why not go lay your hands upon them and see them be raised to life? But what if they don't? But what if they do? It's time to ask the right questions. See, God is looking for those that possess that kind of faith. That kind of faith gets God excited. It attracts His eyes. How to effectively operate as He is. Number one, we must be supernaturally charged and empowered, because you cannot operate as He is if you're not empowered like He was. Number two, and I want you to listen to this one, we must dwell in the atmosphere of the Word. If you want to operate as Jesus operated in this hour, because we're not called to just be like Him, but we're called to do like Him. If you want to operate effectively as He is, number two, we must dwell in the atmosphere of the Word. John 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The Bible tells us, John chapter 1 and verses 1, that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But what if I said to you today that Jesus right now, the Bible says, as we've been quoting the scripture, as He is, so are we. Jesus as the Word of God is still up there. So are we in this world. You're supposed to look like the pages of scripture. When God told me that, I almost started crying. Because here's the thing. Our lives are supposed to look like the pages of this book. Because as He is, as the Word, so are we in this world. So you are called to look like the pages of scripture. You're called to walk in the fullness of what this Word says. But if you want to walk in it, you must dwell in it. The Bible says in Colossians, Paul was writing, and he said, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, not poorly, richly, in abundance. If you want to effectively operate as Jesus did on this earth, in this final hour of time, you must dwell in the atmosphere of His Word. Not visit it, dwell in it. Not visit it every Sunday and have a look at it every now and then, but to dwell in it, feed upon it, devour it. Because the more it consumes you, or the more you consume it, the more it consumes you, the more it transforms you into His perfect image. Don't visit the Word, dwell in the Word. You see, it's dwelling in the atmosphere of the Word of God that doubt cannot exist. It's dwelling in the atmosphere of the Word of God that positions us to operate effectively in this hour as He is. It positions us for effective use. And number three, I want to highlight this. If you want to effectively operate as He is in heaven, so are we in this world, you must prioritize intimacy with Him. You must prioritize intimacy with Jesus. See, many people treat intimacy with the Lord as a burden, but it's a blessing. Spending time with Him is not the worst part of the day, it's the best part of the day. Jesus did in Matthew 14, 23, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening had come, He was there alone. Jesus prioritized intimacy. If you want to operate as He is, you must prioritize intimacy with Him. Because you can't be like someone you don't know. You can't be as He is if you don't know who He is. But as you begin to prioritize intimacy with Him every day, when you're going to that secret place and you fellowship with Him, and your soul longs for Him, and you spend time in fellowship crying out to God, reading through the pages of Scripture and fellowshipping with Him and communing with Him, you're then empowered to know how He is so you can be like He is. But you must prioritize intimacy with God. I want the worship leaders to come up, please. Every single one of you at home, I want you to get your communion elements ready. Time has flown. We must honor the time. But number one, how to effectively operate as He is. Number one, we must be supernaturally charged and empowered. Number two, we must dwell in the atmosphere of the Word. And number three, we must prioritize intimacy.